Welcome to the Pint and Click podcast. I'm Dave. I'm here with Joel and Tony and Jamie. Jamie is back, everybody.
Hi.
She's going to be on podcasts once again. She is back in the library as well. We are happy to have her. And it's going to be some exciting new podcasts coming your way. But in the meantime, today we're talking about Black Panther. We're talking about the movie. We read a little bit of the comic books, and we are excited to talk about it. So let's start with the movie. What do we think of Black Panther?
The culmination of a long wait. Very incredible.
Yeah?
It was a superhero movie where I enjoyed the non-costume parts almost more than the action scenes.
Sure, I see, yeah. I thought it was gorgeous, for one, if we talk about the art direction, if we talk about the scenery, if we talk about the costumes, if we talk about even the special effects, the locations, all of that was just 2 hours of a quiet spectacle just to watch all of these things. You know, the scene at the waterfall, or the couple of scenes at the waterfall, like they built half of that set in a soundstage. And that was real running water that they were fighting in. Like, that was amazing to me.
Yeah, I loved it. I didn't know if it would be able to stand up to the hype because I had been so excited for it beforehand. And I went there and I was so excited. And everything, like you were saying, it was just, you know, the way that they wove in contemporary issues and social things that are happening now with the Marvel Cinematic Universe and just history. And the cinematography was gorgeous, and the way that they used like Pan-African cultural signals in Wakanda was so great to me. It was stunning to look at. I loved it. Yeah.
I think one of the more in-your-face things about it that caught me by surprise was the pacing and the shifting of tones that could happen kind of quite rapidly. It was just really awesome. Like during certain scenes where there's like a reveal or something like that, the music kind of playing in the background kind of ramps up and the volume just increases and the intensity of the scene of the whole room just explodes. And I just love, like, I realized that I was watching kind of a different film than I had expected, and I realized that about part of the way through the film, and it was just like, great, everything is new. You know, it was such a surprise and a welcome one. So
for those who don't know, it's the newest Marvel movie. It's the next superhero. In some ways, it kind of follows the patterns of the previous ones. There's a couple of plot points that are the same. You know, there's a good guy and a bad guy that are established and, you know, all that good stuff. But it was so many more aspects to it than just that. There were political aspects. There were cultural aspects to it on the one hand. On the other hand, there were character aspects that you don't usually see. Like, we had a sympathetic villain, and we had a thoughtful superhero instead of the roguish approach of Tony Stark or the dogma-determined Captain America. We had a quiet king who would think carefully about how this will affect his people and affect his kingdom before he charges off into battle.
Yeah, and listens to and actually actively seeks out advice of people that are his advisors and listens to their advice and considers it.
I thought that was really interesting because usually, you know, like, he's the titular character, but in some ways he was one of the more quieter characters on screen, because not to say that he was boring or uninteresting, but that in terms of personality, I feel like there were so many other ones that were also vying up there too. It wasn't like one main character and a bunch of subservient side characters. There were so many people, like his sister Shuri, and just so many other ones that grab your attention and had really developed backstories and wants and desires. And I think my trouble with some other superhero movies is that I did feel like the characterization kind of falls to the background a little bit, but in this one it really was up there.
Absolutely. In that way, it's more than just the character, the superhero. I felt like Doctor Strange, which was not a bad movie, but it was just all about him. It was all about Benedict Cumberbatch's character and how he feels and what he thinks and how he works and what he does. And the other characters were just kind of set pieces. In this movie, I loved the sister. I loved even Killmonger and Claw were both interesting and both had their own motivations, which was compelling, as opposed to just, I'm a bad guy because I'm a bad guy and deal with it. There were,
you could empathize for the antagonists.
Well, and I enjoyed the character of Ross, too, of the CIA agent Ross, where he kind of bucked the idea of the American elbowing his way in and taking charge or whatnot. He really just kind of hung back and accepted what was going on. And he just, I enjoyed how he fit into the flow of the movie as well.
What else do we like about Black Panther? I, for one, liked the juxtaposition of tradition and technology mm-hmm. that it put forward. Mm-hmm. The beginning was almost mystical. Mm-hmm. The prologue to the movie is reminded me of Hellboy 2 or Lord of the Rings, where mm-hmm. they're like, we need to set up the ancient history of this land. Mm-hmm. And you don't get that in a Marvel movie. You get that in a fantasy movie, mm-hmm. which, you know, this movie is maybe a little bit, not entirely, but kind of a fantasy movie.
That's how I felt, definitely. Especially in terms of how they shaped it at the beginning and through it. It definitely had this like mythological feel to it instead of... And I think one of the things that I liked about that is that it seemed like this world stands alone from the rest of the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
So for people who haven't seen all the Avengers and haven't seen all those things, you know, this is its own legend. This is its own story. You can come in here without having to have knowledge about all those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, like Claw has been set up before, but you don't need to know mm-hmm. it. Like you yeah. can walk into this movie and understand that he's a bad guy. Like it takes care of itself. Though Black Panther appeared, and he himself appeared in Civil War and will appear again in Infinity War, like they almost just didn't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Let's forget all that. Let's just tell the story of this character, as opposed to like Age of Ultron, which was just bogged down mm-hmm. by how many threads it had to pick up and put down and weave together. Like this was just one good movie, one good chunk of movie mm-hmm. with great characterization, great production design, all of these great aspects, great acting, great script. And it didn't worry about what it has to do. Like it has to tie in or it has to define this character in certain ways. Like none of that. It was just a great story from great storytellers.
Do you think that will change the approach that they have to standalone other Marvel movies in the future, that they won't necessarily feel as much need to have it be so interconnected with the world that they've already set up in other movies?
I do hope so, because I'm getting a little... Doctor Strange, I keep using as a example. That was the one where I'm like, yeah, this is a fine movie, but I've seen this movie. Mm-hmm. I saw it in Iron Man. I saw it in Thor. I saw it in Captain America. I saw it on and on and on. But Black Panther is one that I didn't mind seeing. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind a new character. I didn't mind an origin story again because it was done so well. Mm-hmm. As opposed to Doctor Strange, which like hit on a lot of familiar beats. Mm-hmm. And
the characters are more stock.
Yes, and simplified yeah. and mm-hmm. straightforward and not nuanced and not interesting and not compelling. Apart from Doctor Strange himself, the rest of the characters were one-dimensional at best. So I hope that this promises good things for Captain Marvel and the oft-rumored Black Widow movie. Should that ever come about? Who knows? Yeah, I'm excited. I'm glad that they made these decisions in the crew and the cast.
One of the other things I think this film does incredibly well is, like you were saying earlier, the visuals are extremely evocative and they provoke an emotional response mm-hmm. in some ways. So like you're in Seoul, Korea. At first, it's kind of the impoverished streets of South Korea where it's you wouldn't expect a high-rolling casino kind of in the center of this city. And I think they do amazing things with like the way certain characters like Claw are like kind of under-costumed or like they're just a person, right? Whereas like people from Wakanda are extremely, they're wearing the reds and the blues and the greens. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a tribal affiliation, but not always, you know, mm-hmm. because there is so much inner politics and history in their culture. It's like there's, I think that's great because they're telling kind of another story beneath everything. And to me, it was great. It just shows like kind of an innate conflict on the screen, even like when they're dancing around, almost playing the spy game in that casino. Even just going on to IMDb, you can see some really great stills of it. But, you know, you see T'Challa in like an awesome black suit. You know, it's his character, but it's also like he's the king of Wakanda. So it's just he has this air of not just confidence, but he can fit in this world, any world, because he's a king. But then there's also like they carry that into back to Wakanda where the colors do have a stronger significance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas like when you're in a casino and or in Korea where there's these bright lights, they mean nothing. You know, they're just like attention yeah. grabbing necessarily. Yeah. But they might mean
they
a
kind
whole,
of
like
blend in there
mm-hmm.
and aren't so accented.
Yeah, they're not so accented. Yeah. Right. Hmm. So
yeah, that's fascinating. Mm-hmm. I didn't even thought of something like that. Like because you're talking about the neon lights of the signs mm-hmm. and the South Korea car chase where there's lights, there's street lights, there's signs above cafes, and the Black Panther's all in black.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's kind of
it's like a chance to show off his like sleek, awesome armor.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, to me, it was like this is a contrast to where most of the movie takes place. This is kind of a dark and dreary and rainy mm-hmm. and kind of ugly part of the world, whereas Wakanda is beautiful and it's hidden and it's something to protect. And it's they're isolationists because it's helped their survival and all that. So,
And because it is so special compared to the rest of the world, maybe.
Yeah.
It is so rich in culture and rich in technology and, you know, rich in all things that the contrast with some of the other places they go in the world, such as the places described by Killmonger, are a little bit more desperate than Wakanda is.
Yeah.
I can understand why that kind of frames why they would be afraid of the rest of the world and want to isolate and want to hide because they don't want to lose what they have and just blend in with the rest of the world.
Right.
They want to remain a special place, a beautiful place. And we haven't even touched on, I mentioned Black Panther being a cool guy, but the emotions between fathers and sons in this movie, between the bad guy and his father and the good guy and his father, and the vulnerability, the anger, the resentment, the trust, the respect, the passion, all of those things are somehow crammed into 2 hours.
And I feel like we can empathize for each of those situations in their own way. You know, we see the different choices that they made and we might not agree with them, but we can understand why they might want to cover something up, you know, or things like that. And it's just, that was so great to me that in such a short amount of time, we can feel and the audience can understand the whys behind things. It's not just things are happening like in other action movies, but we know the genesis of each action.
They were pretty efficient in those scenes, too. They were able to convey the complexity in a very short amount of time. And they were also able to repeat it so that you were able to, okay, we've seen this before, and now how does it work with another situation in the movie? And you're able to kind of piece the two together and know what was going to happen because you've seen the ritual before.
Exactly.
And I thought that was really well done. It really kind of helped the movie slide by a lot better.
Yeah, I went in with medium expectations coming off of Doctor Strange, coming off Ant-Man. I'm like, I'm not so hot on one-off Marvel movies these days, but this one renewed my faith. I am delighted with this movie. I think most people watching it have been too because it's made a lot of money. It's made a lot of money.
Well, there's a very peculiar aspect of Black Panther too where he is not created or chosen. He is. He's part of a lineage and he's actually a head of state. How many of these heroes are heads of state where they are literally responsible for the lives of thousands and millions of people? And you mentioned it before, it's political. But there's just that extra element to it where whatever he does, he has that extra weight on his shoulders.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, Batman's always has a huge weight on his shoulders and something. But this is more than that. This is inescapable.
Yeah.
There's no chance for him to say no. You know, he doesn't want it. You know, like Spider-Man could, like, hang up his mask and walk away. Or whatever.
But Black Panther has been generations, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I mentioned before where he – in the books, too, where he is able to ask for advice from people around him that have had some experience. I don't know how to phrase that, but it's a little bit different than, of course, again, there's no other type of character similar to Batman or Spider-Man that I understand.
That's really interesting that a lot of the narrative arcs in other superhero movies are like, do I want this responsibility? I find out that I have this power or gift. Do I want it? And in this one, that's never a question, like you were saying. It's like, what do I do with this responsibility? What is my responsibility to the world?
Yeah.
And how to navigate like your responsibility to your own people and then to the diaspora as well.
I think his mother says, you know, we've been preparing for this since the day you were born.
Like, yeah.
Certainly he has as well. To accept this responsibility. So we also read Black Panther and the Crew, which is a graphic novel featuring Black Panther in the streets of Harlem. What do we think? So we have this at the library. It should be on the shelf today if you happen to make it in time. How do we feel about the comic book Black Panther that we read? I know, Joel, you've read even more. You've read the standalone series. Is it the same? Is it different? Is it interesting?
I think it fits really well in with – the movie really carries on the books. Even in the books, there's a few scenes where he talks to Tony Stark, and Tony Stark is, you know, jabbering away in his metropolitan whatever he's doing, and Black Panther just doesn't have time for it, and he's just like, okay, whatever. I'm going to get what I need information out of you, and he has the same laid-back style about him And there's a lot more, you mentioned earlier about the characters being not just cardboard cutouts around the hero. Mm-hmm. Many of the characters around him, they're fully developed. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pathos between him and Aurora. Mm-hmm. There's just many other characters, his mother, mm-hmm. Shuri, his sister. The movie really followed through on what you see in the movie is what you can read in the books, especially with the ones that I read with Ta-Nehisi Coates. Mm-hmm. Well done.
Yeah, this Black Panther and the crew I like because it's very different from the movie. It's street level, as they like to say, where it's more about crimes happening on the streets of Harlem as opposed to giant aliens shooting a laser from space. But I'm a little disappointed it's called Black Panther and the crew. It should be Misty Knight and the crew.
That's what my initial thought going into it was.
It's about her. Mm-hmm. I guess for marketing, they called it Black Panther so it would sell better, but... If you're fans of Misty Knight, she was in Luke Cage, right? In the Netflix series. Mm-hmm. She's a big part of the story, as is Storm, as is Luke Cage, and is Manifold, who I'd never heard of until I picked up this book. And so, again, this has some political tones to it, as the fighting for the soul of Harlem and the... Let's see. So there's curfew and there's expectations of riots and how do we navigate this? How do we keep people safe? How do we keep our neighborhoods safe? Mm-hmm. And it's about political protest and it's about anger. And it's a fascinating little book. It's a graphic novel. It doesn't take long to read if you've never read a graphic novel before. It takes maybe an hour to actually go cover to cover. But there's so many good little stories in it because it was written as a series of six comic books. The Black Panther in this, I think, is kind of the Black Panther at the end of the movie. He's more engaged with the outside world. He's more interested in the outside world than in the movie, where he's purely focused on Wakanda and his family and his people. But in this one, he takes up a greater responsibility, as do all the characters in Black Panther and the crew.
I think one thing that I was surprised by, like you were saying, that it was really focused on Misty Knight. And I think I had wished I had also read the ones that weren't the crew, that were just the Black Panther graphic novels. Because since I don't have a strong background on the Marvel Universe and I haven't read the other graphic novels before, I did have difficulty coming in it. And I'd seen Luke Cage, the TV show. I'd seen all the X-Men movies and things, but I still struggled with how the story is tied together and the different characters and things. And this one did move back and forth in place and time. So I think it was a little, there was a steep learning curve of being able to feel like, okay, I know who is talking in which scene and things like that. So
yeah, unfortunately that happens in comic books where they reference things that happened a year ago or 2 years ago in various meta stories. Mm-hmm. But I felt they tried to keep it to a minimum in this book. So it's a pretty good first try for someone who's never read a comic book graphic novel before. I think it's extremely well written.
Mm-hmm.
It was a page turner, to use that classic gem of a description.
In the other series that Coates wrote, Nation Under Our Feet, the crew shows up for a scene and then disappears. And like you mentioned, I was like, what? And then I was able to read this and put the two together. So they kind of happen in a concurrent.
Yes.
It doesn't happen in a linear fashion, so to speak. But I highly recommend the Nation Under Our Feet as well. That was really good.
And that's the writer, Ta-Nehisi Coates, who wrote Between the World and Me, which was the bestseller. So that's where else you might have heard him from.
Yeah, so an excellent writer of both conventional books, as you might say, and then as well as graphic novels and comic books, and really making a name in the past year or two. Any other thoughts about Black Panther, the character, the comic, the movies? Are you interested in more Black Panther? Is the movie enough?
I saw that there was a petition out. I read this on The Root, that they were putting a petition out to try to have a Netflix series about it, about the characters. I would be behind that because I think for so many people in the Black community, this is like, oh my gosh, we're seeing like representations of ourselves on the screen. And one thing I thought was interesting was I read this article that was talking about the impact that the character of Shuri can make because she's really into STEM, she's really into tech, she's like so excited about it. They were talking about how Black women are underrepresented in the STEM fields, and they had done research showing how after certain movies, interest in a certain thing peaks. So after Hunger Games, they were saying archery peaked, interest in archery peaked. And so that they're saying they're hoping that this can get more younger people engaged in that. And Disney already donated like $1 million to STEM centers or learning or something in different cities like Oakland and Chicago and stuff. So
cool.
I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, so if you like Black Panther, he'll be back in Infinity War. Mm-hmm. And you can also, if you come to the library, you can check out the graphic mm-hmm. novels. You can check out Civil War on DVD or Blu-ray. Black Panther is in theaters now. It is doing extremely well. And I think it is well-deserved for its success. Mm-hmm. And that's going to do it for the Pint & Click podcast. We'll see you next time.